Thanks to those who have led tonight. Thank you for being a part of the service and for participating. And it's good to see you here. We welcome everyone to the evening worship service, especially those of you who are visiting. We thank you for coming our way, and we hope that you feel right at home and hope that in the process we can encourage one another in the word of the Lord. Worshiping together, singing together, praying together, that ought to help all of us to start the week off just right, and that's exactly what we want. Appreciate Brock leading the singing, and that song, As the Life of a Flower, has a suggestion. It's written into our books anyway, to softly repeat as he led us on that chorus, and we don't always do that, and I appreciate the instruction. That helps us to be ready to do that. Brock, I was thinking, I had a situation a number of years ago. I was leading a group for a funeral. We were singing for a funeral, and I decided to ignore that, and I told them, I said, we're not going to do the repeat. And then I started the repeat because I had led it that way so many times, and then nobody knew what to do, so the only thing I knew to do to get out of it was just to sit down. So it sounded like one blast of a note, and then everything stopped. I don't know how everybody felt about that. Nobody said much about it, but the repeat, I do like in that. It's repeat softly, and you did that very well, and thank you all for singing and for participating. I meant to acknowledge the last time he was here, we appreciate the presence always of gospel preachers, and Brother Tim McHenry is able to be with us tonight. He's in transition, helping congregations in a couple of places, but able to be with us tonight. Brother Tim, good to have you and Connie here, and thank you for coming our way, and the door is always open and the mat out for you. You know that anytime here, and we welcome you to the Bible study. Keep in mind the activities of the week. We have a midweek Bible study Wednesday night at 7. If you need books, the Pillars of Faith for our Sunday morning study, that's here on the front row. We want you to take one of those, and that's good for everybody, even visitors, whatever. We want those books to be distributed, and we're studying that on Sunday morning. We invite everyone to join us in the adult class for that study. And then the selected studies in Psalms, which is the book that the ladies are using in the ladies' study on Thursdays, and that's every first and third Thursday of the month. And if you have a fifth Thursday like this month, then they're counting that a bonus day. So you meet on the fifth Thursday as well. But every first and third Thursday, our ladies are meeting together in a Bible devotional time, and they're using Debbie Key's book, Selected Studies in Psalms. And that book is available here on the front row as well, and that is yours for the taking. If you'd like to have that book and be a part of that course or that study, then by all means, we want you to do that. Last week, we were in the study of good versus great. There's been a lot of work that's been done in this line, both for corporations, and some have adapted that over into the church, to talk about things that should challenge us to be the very best that we can be. And this month, we have been setting our mind to some things that will help to encourage us as a congregation of the Lord's people here, and to encourage us in evangelism, because the eldership here has said, and we've talked about this several occasions, that it's time for us to get busy. We've had a year where we didn't know exactly what to do or how to act in some cases. Personal visits were discouraged. Those of us who preach and who are accustomed to making those visits, we were discouraged last year about this time from going in and making personal visits with individuals. I remember one visit that I made just as that was starting to happen, and I didn't mean to offend, but it was an elderly person, and she wasn't sure whether to open the door to me or not. And I realized then, I thought, I've got to remember that we're in a different time right now. You can't go in. And so we visited at a distance on the front porch. Those times are changing some now. And as the church, we are still to be evangelistic. We're still to be the very best that we can be and trying to reach others with the gospel of Christ. And so last week, we looked at that and we examined that from the perspective of how to be better. And the general theme that we used is going from good or good versus great. We want to be great. We're charged to be the very best that we can be in the kingdom of God. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, the encouragement is that we are to leave behind those rudimentary things of the past and go on to completion, go on to perfection in Christ. And that word there is to be complete in Christ. That's to be the very best that you can be. So last week we examined a couple of things. We examined good versus great, and that being where you set the idea of being a fanatic versus a casual observer. We defined that, and we won't go back over that tonight. But those of you who are participants, remember our discussion there. Participant versus just one who shows up. And I appreciate very much the encouraging words that you gave me. Many of you said that you really enjoyed the study last time. And I enjoyed it so much that I let the time slip up on me. I thought I was about halfway through and looked up at the clock and it's time to stop. So we nailed the peg down right there. And tonight we're going to do the second half as I had planned it to be on the first half. But as I was looking over the material and reading a little bit this afternoon, I got to thinking that this actually works out very well, because the way it lays out tonight's study goes very well with what we studied this morning from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, and applying what pleasing faith is all about in serving God. And so tonight we continue on with a discussion of good versus great. And the very first place that I start has to do with love. And the song from back in the 80s, I think about 1984. If I called the writer, you wouldn't recognize that, but there was a Tennessean who recorded it by the name of Tina Turner. And if I said that, you'll recognize the question that was raised, and that is, what's love got to do with it? Well, love has everything to do with it in Christ. Having the proper love is what it's all about in serving God. Love versus like. Now, when I was in school, I was an adventurous sort, a bit mischievous. I know some of you will find that hard to believe. But one of the things that intrigued me early on in school was love notes. And I was always interested in that, especially starting about third grade, where boys would start to write love notes to their girlfriends, and occasionally that would be reciprocated. And so I always enjoyed being creative with that, and I would write love notes. And one of those love notes in elementary school was what would generally go like this. I like you very much. Do you like me? And then you might give an option. I remember a time or two, you get a note, or you'd pass a note that say, I like you. You check one. Check one. I like you. I like you a lot. I love you. And of course, that last one is a joke, because when you're in elementary school, you don't even begin to understand what that love means. But, you know, kids throw that around. And I was so creative one time, I decided one of the guys in my class needed somebody to write a note for him. So I wrote one for him, and I didn't tell him. And that created quite a stir. I'll have to tell you about that sometime. I'm not going to do that tonight. But I did get rather creative, and it didn't end up so well for me. I got in a bit of trouble over that. But I just thought he needed a little help in writing a love note. But my point is this. When you say, do you like me or do you love me, there's a great difference there. Now, the question that I'm asking, I say all that to get your attention, and I'm happy to see you smiling because I know I've got your attention now. The question is, do you just like God some, a lot, or do you love God and His service? Do you love Christ and His kingdom? Now, that's what it really comes down to. What does love have to do with it? It has all to do with it. What kind of love do you have in your heart? Now, here is an example of what I'm trying to get across to all of us, and especially as it relates to what I said in the beginning and what we've been focusing on, and that is in trying to encourage others. In John chapter 1, verses 40 and 41, we have there the words of John being spoken, and we have Andrew, who is encouraged to go and to see the Christ. But the Bible says, before he went, he turned and he told his brother, Simon Peter, he said, come and go with me. We have found the Messiah. He loved his brother enough to say, Simon Peter, we think we found the Messiah and you need to know about him. Now, that's love on two different levels. Number one, that was a love of God in that Andrew was encouraged that God's plan was working and that the Savior, the Messiah, had come, and he wanted to know about it. But not only was he interested in knowing about it himself, he loved his brother enough to say, come and go with me. I want you to see him. I'm going and you need to go with me. Now, folks, that's love. That's love for your flesh and blood, and it's also a love for God. And as we think about what love has to do with it, there is an example of it. There is an example from the scriptures that illustrates so well the way we should be when it comes to evangelizing those about us. Now here is a brother who cares for his flesh and blood brother enough to say, I'm not going to leave you behind. I want you to go with me. Now, preachers who are here, I'm sure, have preached from this text and from this point and emphasized the great accomplishment that was to bring Simon Peter to the Lord, because it was through Andrew's encouragement that Simon Peter became the speaker on the day of Pentecost. And some have asked the question, what if Andrew had not invited Peter to go? Well, we don't know the answer to that, because Andrew did. Andrew encouraged him. He said, come and go with us. Come and see the Messiah. And he did. And he followed him. And we know the rest of that story from studying in the scripture. And we know the great work that Peter did as a gospel preacher, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, all because he was invited. Now, folks, that brings it back into us. That brings it back to where we are tonight. And that is the reminder that our invitations matter. Loving one another enough in this life should dictate that we care for others and say, come and hear the words of Christ. We found the truth. We found the good thing, as Jesus said regarding Mary and her attitudes toward his teaching. We found the good thing. We found the better part. Come and join me. Come and study from the words of God. Get to know Christ. Share that message with those that we love. And the illustration is clear. That ought to start in the family. Family members we love, we live with them throughout our lives. We're part of each other's lives throughout all of life in most cases. And in that situation, that ought to be the beginning point. To say to family members, come, I found the Messiah. You need to see and you need to be a part of this. Now, I recognize that in this same place, sometimes the most difficult individual you'll deal with in your life having to do with spiritual matters may very well be a family member. I understand that as well. But that being said, we still should love enough to invite. An invitation. Who can know the extent of what an invitation can do to bring one to Christ? And furthermore, who can know the future that is accomplished and the good things that are accomplished in the future through an individual invited? And that's all illustrated here in John 1 by the bringing of Peter to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Second in our illustrations comes from Matthew chapter 19. And this has to do with some of the things that we must be committed to in order to be obedient to God. There in Matthew 19 we have the record of the rich young ruler. He comes to Christ. And he comes with a question, you'll remember. And beginning there at verse 16, he asks, and he regards in the right way. He says, good master, what good thing must I do that I may inherit eternal life? He asked in a proper way, with proper respect. He asked the Lord and regarded his position. Good master, what should I do that I may inherit eternal life? A good question. He's asking the right question. I want to know what it takes to be saved eternally. And he said unto him, Jesus doing the talking, he said, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Now notice, as he goes on, he said unto him, which ones? Jesus said, thou shalt not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. And notice this, along about verse 20, the young man says, all these things I have kept from my youth. That's a remarkable statement in itself. This was a good man by all standards, at least by the folks looking in. And by our standards, we were with him. We say he's a good man. He's a good guy. And he said, I've done all these things. And I believe he had. You know why I believe that? Because our Lord said nothing to correct it. Our Lord didn't rebuke him on that part. But here is our illustration. Here is our encouragement for our study tonight. The Lord told him, there's one thing that you lack. One thing that you lack yet. And that is, you need to go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and take up your cross and follow me. Come and follow me. Come and dedicate yourself. You've done all these things well, but there's one thing that you lack. And what is that you lack? If you'll be perfect, Jesus said, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. You know now, you've turned, many of you have, to that scripture, and many of you know it from memory. You've heard this taught many times before. The Bible says this young man went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great possessions. He had a problem with love. He had a problem with loving the things of this world more than he loved God. More than he was willing to give all and give up all things as we know it in the world so that he could move those barriers that were blocking him from perfect service, from complete service to God. He was unwilling to do that, and he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. You know, there are a lot of folks that make that same decision today. And by the standards of the world, as I've tried to emphasize, by the standards of the world, we look on those folks and they say, those are good people, with one exception. They haven't loved God enough to give up the things of the world. They're in love with the world too much. So much that they can't give up those things and serve God, and it gets in the way. You can't love both. Jesus said you can't love God and mammon. You know very well that the scripture's clear. You have to love God with everything that you have. You have to be dedicated to God with everything that you have. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's the encouragement of God from his word. You can't love the world and love God as you should. But we still sometimes get lured by the things. And man, we've got a society that's full of things. We've got a society that's full of stuff. And I need to be reminded from time to time on this very point. But I'll tell you, in recent years in dealing in my family, with the deaths that we've had in my family, I found out through experience how little those things matter. When you start going through what's left in someone's life, all those things that were of value to them, not all that much value to anybody else. You say, oh, this is something that is very near and dear to me. This is a valuable piece. And you know what? In most cases, you'll be very fortunate to get $5 or $10 out of it if you try to sell it. In most cases, folks will even try to get a better price. They'll try to get you down below that. Very seldom do you ever get very much for those residual things left from a life. But people spend their whole life piling up things and sometimes let that get in the way of serving God as they should. There's where love comes in. How much do you love God? Do you love him like you should? Do you love him enough to say, I'm ready to give up whatever it takes? I'm ready to do whatever it takes to serve and follow him? Another evaluation. Jesus evaluating Peter that we just talked about in John 21 in verse 15. I want to notice something. I want to emphasize at the end of this something that I don't always do a good job in emphasizing, but I want us to emphasize it tonight because it brings it all in perspective. In John 21, beginning at verse 15, Jesus asked the question three times of Peter. He said, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Now in this, we've talked about it before, but I remind you again, Jesus is asking, and there are two different loves in discussion here. Jesus asked, Simon, and the form that is used there is the form of agape, which I don't think it does harm to say, do you love me with all that you have? Do you love me with all your heart? I believe that's a good way of saying it. But agape is a selfless love, and that's what he says. He's saying, Simon, do you love me with a selfless love? And Simon responds by saying, Lord, you know I love you as a brother. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. A second time the Bible says that Jesus said to Simon, he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And there again he's saying, do you love me with a selfless love? And Simon is going below that in his response, and he says, Lord, you know I love you as a brother. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. But the third time Jesus asked, the Bible says, Peter was grieved. Jesus asked him on the third occasion, and here's where a change comes, not reflected in our English Bibles, but here the Lord comes down a notch, and he says, Simon, do you love me as a brother? And Simon responds, grieved by the third questioning of this, and he says to the Lord, he's grieved, and he says, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know I love you as a brother. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Now then, notice verse 18. I've not always emphasized verse 18, and I really should have. Look at verse 18, because that puts it all into perspective. And it has all to do with what we're talking about with love and what's involved in love and serving God. Jesus said to Simon, after this exchange, after I'm sure that Simon Peter has been somewhat rattled by that exchange because you've been put on the spot. By the way, I wonder how we would do if our Lord were to come in tonight through those doors and come in and ask us, do you love me? Wonder what the answer would be, because he can see your heart. You can answer every how you want to, but he knows the true answer. He knows the heart. And that's why I think Peter was answering. I'm convinced with all my heart that Simon Peter was an honest man to the very end. And whatever was on his heart, he said it. And I think that's why the exchange unfolds as it does. And so he knew the Lord could read and know his heart. And so he's answering as honestly as he knows how. And therein we have the discussion. But verse 18, notice this with me, please. Let's make some application, and then we'll move along. Jesus said to Simon, verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you could gird yourself and walk wherever you would. But when you're old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you would not. Do you get what Jesus is saying here? I want you to get it, because it's so important. If you love the Lord with all your heart, it may very well lead you to the place that led Simon Peter, and that is he ended up being a prisoner for the Lord. He ended up being in the care of somebody else. When he was young, he was able to do whatever he wanted to do, but because of service to Jesus, because of what Jesus was dealing with here, when he was saying, Simon, do you love me? Simon, understand that if you love me, it carries with it a price. And that price for Simon was, you're going to end up a prisoner and ultimately die the death, we know from history, because you served the Lord. What's love got to do with it? It's got everything to do with it. Selfless love, loving the Lord with all of our heart, makes all the difference. And if we love with our all, then it'll be seen in the way we conduct ourselves, the way we invite others, the way that we do what we can to help, the way that we try to encourage the church to grow. And this is individual, but we're talking about it from an individual perspective as it affects the church. And so if everybody loves as they should in this congregation, then this church can't help but grow. This church can't help but go and grow and advance as God would have it to do. And that's through love, loving as God would have us to love. The next on our list is the comparison, or the putting the two together, sacrifice versus a gift. And therein, the scripture speaks of that and goes closely to what we've already talked about. In fact, the last part that we just looked at there in verse 18 connects us in to this and makes a very good transition to talk about a sacrifice versus a gift. Now, you know, you can give a gift and it not be a sacrifice. Now, I don't want to get anybody in trouble here, but I think I can illustrate that very well from about 4 months ago at Christmas time, because there are gifts given at Christmas time that really aren't a sacrifice. In fact, it might very well be, I'm not going to incriminate anyone here, it might be that you re-gifted something. Somebody gave you something that you didn't care so much for, and so you took it, took the tags off of it, wrapped it again, and gave it to someone else, not necessarily your very best, closest individual. So you said, I need to give them something. I'll give them this. You see, you can give a gift that doesn't mean that much to you. So when we talk about giving, we're not talking about necessarily giving all. But when you come over into the sacrifice, now that's something else. When someone gives from a place of sacrifice, that is another matter. Both could be put under the heading of gifts, but you see, they are two different things, and they come from two different backgrounds. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, the Lord says there, what I repeated just a minute ago connected to the rich young ruler, and that is, he says that we are to take up our cross and follow him. Whoever will come after me, let him deny himself, Jesus said, take up his cross and follow me. That is the charge that you and I have from Jesus Christ our Savior. If we're going to follow him, we're going to have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. That's sacrifice. We've seen a lot of examples of sacrifice throughout life and throughout our studies of history. We know that. A number of years ago, there's a fellow that lived here in Cookeville by the name of John Mitchell. He was a judge. Had the privilege of knowing Brother Mitchell. He was a brother in Christ, an elder, a good elder. I know Brother Ramsey knew him. He was a good elder at the Broad Street Church for many, many years. Judge Mitchell stood. Brother Ramsey, I'm just going to take a guess. Never did ask him. I'd say he was 6'5 or 6'6 at least. Tall man. Always dressed with a vest, a suit, vest, tie, and he wore a top hat. And everywhere he went, he'd tip that hat. Still in the old school, he'd tip that hat. I had the privilege in my high school years, my senior year in high school, he was getting older, and the family asked, would I help him go to the store to get groceries? And so I had the privilege of taking him around town to do a few things. And I was always fascinated when you go to Kroger, he would tip his hat to everybody as we walked down the sidewalk going into Kroger. And to see the responses, you know, young folks, a lot of folks had never even seen that. So young ladies would be walking along and Judge Mitchell would tip his hat to them, you know, and those ladies would, did I just see that? It was always kind of interesting to see the response to Judge Mitchell. The consummate gentleman, there was no doubt about it. He was a gentleman, a Christian gentleman, through and through. One of the things that not many people knew was Judge Mitchell was, I think, second in the state of Tennessee in decoration in World War I, right behind Alvin York. He had saved a full group of his company over in France. I think he saved 9 lives, risking his own over there. He even had been shot and didn't know it until after it was done. He had been shot and his sidearm, the handle was blown off of it. That handle protected him. It would have gotten him in the hip. But he personally carried his men out of harm's way in World War I and was one of the most highly decorated veterans of the state of Tennessee. He was honored. Why? Because of sacrifice. He put his life on the line. When World War II came around, Judge Mitchell was a man of age at that time, but you know what? He re-enlisted. He went and volunteered. He wanted to be a one who represented his country. They wouldn't let him go to the front lines because of age, but he represented the country in this country with Homeland Defense during that time. But my point is this, look at the sacrifice. We know Alvin York. We know the story of Alvin York and the sacrifice that's there. We understand that. So why can't we bring that over and understand what it means to be sacrificial in the kingdom of God? Giving of ourselves. A parent sacrifices for their children. The Bible says, if a son asks for bread, you won't give him a stone. You're going to give them something good. And the fact is, just like that in Luke 11 and 11, the point that Jesus is talking about, he's actually comparing there the way we are to God. And he's saying that if we give good gifts to the ones we love, think what God will do to you and what he'll do for you. But my point is, from that illustration that Jesus gives there in Luke 11, think of the sacrifice, and man, I can think about it, of individuals that you've known and what they've given up for their children. It's amazing. In fact, I would dare say some of you would say, in retrospect perhaps, if you've reared your children, you say, I don't know how I did what I did. But you sacrificed, you scrimped, you saved, you did all you could so that your children could have the very best that you could provide for their own good sacrifice. Now then, the question comes, when you think about sacrifice and what's involved in that, are you willing to sacrifice for the Lord? Are you willing to sacrifice in such a way as to give all? To be able to put your life on the line and say, I'm ready to give all in service to the Lord. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. That is a general principle that's understood across the board, but specifically targeted to the life that he was going to lay down for you and for me. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of glory, came down from heaven itself, came to the earth to live and suffer and die on a cruel Roman cross that we, through his sacrifice, through obedience, could have forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal salvation. Now, I want to tell you straight up, I don't fully comprehend that even to this day. And I think if you're honest, you'll have to say the same thing. I can conceptualize that. I can understand that by the words and by the descriptions that are given, but I can't fully understand it. What a sacrifice that Jesus would come to earth, give up all the glories of heaven, and come to the earth for you and for me. And he turns around and says to us, you've got to do that. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to give of yourself. You're going to have to dedicate yourself to follow me. And so the question comes, how much love and devotion do you have for the Lord? How much love and devotion to the cause would it take for you to sacrifice and to give as you should to be a follower of the Lord? This is an important question we need to ask and one that we need to apply, because in sacrificing for the Lord, we may be called to give all, just like we read just a few minutes ago, like happened to Simon Peter. I don't know what's going to happen in the world. I have no idea, and you don't either. But with times changing, I don't think that it's a far-fetched idea to think that you could stand in legal jeopardy someday for standing for what is right. Brother Paul, before he passed from this life, he and I talked, and he even said from this pulpit one day, and I agree with him. I told him at the time I agree with him. He said that he had wondered all his life what might be the cause of persecution of Christians, because generally we've not had too much trouble with that in this country. And he said that in his appraisal, it might very well be the way that we deal with what the Bible teaches on homosexuality and the perverted things that are going on in the world. You know what? I'm beginning to be more and more impressed that he may very well have been right in that. And it may very well be that the church is going to be persecuted with that. I know this much. I know our Derek Stiles had his Facebook platform taken down because of dealing with that in a streaming service from Hebron back a few months ago. You think it can't happen? Oh yeah, it can happen. And it's happening. And so what is that charge? What's going to come of that? I don't know. But if we're dedicated to giving all, it won't throw us off and it won't cause us to lose track. Had two people this week talk to me about this. They said, you know, one of them said, you know that it's not going to be long until tax-exempt status is going to be removed from the churches. My answer was, I'm surprised we've made it this far. And another one said, you realize that you're probably not going to be able to deduct your gifts to the church in the near future, offer your income taxes? And I said, yes, I've realized that for quite some time. You need to realize that too. They're coming for that. And it may very well change. I don't know. I'm just saying it's there. Here's the question. Would that change your giving? Now, you don't answer to me. You don't answer out. I'm not asking you to answer out loud. I'm saying, would that change your giving? It shouldn't. We ought to be dedicated to giving without a write-off, without a tax break. We ought to be willing to give. Why? Because we're dedicated to God. We're ready to sacrifice. We're ready to do what we can do. But folks, don't put your head in the sand and fail to see what's going on around us. We're in a world that is attacking the Christianity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're attacking the things that are good and right, and they're exalting all that is evil and bad, it seems like. When that happens, we better get ready. We better be sure that we are dedicated to sacrifice rather than just a passing gift along the way. And so tonight's a good time for us to evaluate that. Great versus good. You're the one that will decide that. Ultimately, you make that decision. Every individual decides the service you're going to give. Comes down to what Brother Carroll Ellis said to us in class many years ago. He said, this is what it's all about. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. Your life ought to be lived in praise to God. That's the difference between good and great. If you're ready to sacrifice, if you've sacrificed and given your all, then a lot of what I've said won't change anything because you've dedicated heart and soul to serving the Lord. Tonight, the question is, are you ready to move on to greater service in the Lord? I hope the answer to that is yes. And I hope in the last 2 weeks, some of the things that I have put before you and some of the things that we've discussed will encourage all of us to be better in serving the Lord. If you need prayers of the church, we're ready for that. If you need to obey the gospel of Christ, we're certainly ready for that as well. And we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.